been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hey, everybody. What is going on, Ravens Nation? Welcome to The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast. We talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. How you guys doing?
It wasn't
Heart Attack City, but no.
It always is.
Right,
I mean, it's a 1-point game. Always a Heart Attack City with this team.
Yeah, not the outcome we wanted. Joining me as always, Josh. What's going on, man?
Man, not a whole lot, man. It was definitely weird to not watch this one. I barely had reception where I was. So I didn't know what was going on. I've actually tuned in the game when the Ravens were up 25-21. So I had no clue how this one was going to play out. And for all those who are surprised on why I'm opening the podcast with that kind of statement, but as we all know, for the first time I was present at the game. I did not get a chance to watch it because I had a blast overall this weekend. But from what I did see in the highlights, I saw a lot of Twitter reaction. A lot of it was pointed to the offense. A lot of it was pointed to Trestman and his play calling, a couple of coaching blunders, and just as I suspected, I knew the offensive line was going to be troubles when Stanley wasn't going to be present.
Yeah, this there's definitely some fingers to be pointed, but as a whole, this whole team, every single side of the ball made mistakes. Yes, the offense is going to take a lot of the blame, but the defense, while they did look good doing their thing, showing why they are such a good defense, the defensive coach, DPs, he's definitely a little bit to blame here, because the two touchdowns from Crabtree came because Sharice Wright was covering Crabtree both times. He kept moving Jimmy Smith off of Crabtree, which I think is a giant mistake. What are you doing putting Sharice Wright, a guy who is a nice enough guy, but you know, not the greatest in his position? What are you doing putting him up against Crabtree, a guy that's been, you know, a known great receiver?
Yeah, I'm going to waste a little breath talking about Sharice Wright, man, but it's really irritating me. I don't know how he's on the team, and I've said this the last show. How did he even make the 53-man roster? You got to put faith in the coaching staff to get it done. Don't like this guy at all. I don't know why he's on the team. I don't know why he's playing the NFL. The guy can't cover to save his job. He can't cover to save anything.
That's good. Really, that is some good censorship right there, man.
Hey, you know, I'm pretty fired up. It's just... But it basically, the fact remains is he just can't do his job. And how many shows are we going to do week to week where, oh, Sharice Wright, they picked on him? He allowed – let's break this down. He allowed two touchdowns when he's covering Allen Robinson, okay? He allowed three – and I wasn't watching the game. Correct me if I'm wrong. Did he allow all three touchdowns when covering Crabtree or just that one?
I think it was two. I mean, I'm not 100% sure. I think it was two out of three.
The Raiders scored 28 points, and he accounts for 18 of them. So it just goes without saying. It's sickening. It's got to stop. If we're going to go anywhere this year, it's going to hinge on him playing a lot better. Couple of things I wanted to touch on, and I want to hear your thoughts. You actually watched the game. I didn't, so I want to hear from your perspective on this one, kind of, you know, turn the tables a bit. But my take on watching the highlights, I'm going to go down to some points and notes I made. Steve Smith is still a beast. Holy moly. 52-yard touchdown, he just stiff-armed the guy and took off. The guy's showing no ill effects of the Achilles that hurt him last year. It's incredible to see him play, and I want to, you know, obviously I want to win the whole thing this year, but not only for that, for Steve Smith, man. He deserves a championship. The guy's worked hard all of his career. I want to send him in the sunset the way we did Ray, respectively. Another takeaway is the Renegades back. Benching Forsett and starting West, I think, was the best decision, and we see why. West is pounding the ball well, and he showed with over 100 yards and a touchdown. He pounded it in for the go-ahead score.
Before you move off the running game, let's stick with this real quick. I mean, because we definitely got to dive into this. I was shocked to see that Justin Forsett was a healthy scratch, that he wasn't going to be playing because he is a veteran. You know, he did take the deal where he got cut and came back. I mean, I was shocked. I really was that he wasn't playing. However, I can also see the business side of the ball here, where you're up against the Raiders, who are one of the worst defenses in the league, and your running game hasn't really been doing anything. Give the ball to Terrence West. Let him try it out on a team whose defense is not very good. Let me ask you, do you think that this all paid off in the end? Do you think Terrence West is the guy that's going to be number one going forward?
Might be. No one suspected this. I think it was a coach's decision coming down when game time. I don't think none of us even suspect him as a healthy scratch. Did he even play?
He was not dressed at all.
Okay, so I don't want to discredit the decision. Okay, so
they scratched him and let Buck Allen back up Terrence West.
Good, and it's kind of. It kind of shows you the direction they're heading, and I know that they released him once. Who knows? He could be included in some trade situations or trade talk. And I said this before, and it was kind of funny because I'm going to look out for the article. I was approached by a local paper where I was at this weekend about, like, because obviously I was supporting my Ravens gear, and they asked me, obviously, what my keys were, and I said – because the reporter asked me specifically about Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper and the passing attack, and could we cover him? And I said Michael Crabtree and Cooper is going to be one or the other is going to give us fits. And it's kind of funny that. And then the other question to stick on the running game too is he asked, will the Ravens get back to a running attack? And I actually said, yeah. And I felt confident in that. But I was a little shaky in my answer because – we're going to talk a lot about on this show about the trenches, because I was concerned, because when I knew Stanley might not play, Alex Lewis wasn't going to play, I kind of wanted to rescind that statement. But I said, you know what? I'm going to get faith in the running game. It's been a long time coming. And obviously I was right, because the end result, Terrence West looked awesome from what I can see. I mean, the team was creating lanes and he had a couple of great runs, and I saw Flacco had a sneak for a touchdown. So the line held up okay, but the pass protection part is the one that we need work on, and we need Stanley and Lewis back fast, man. Because, and if I don't remember, or if I remember faintly, Hurst started. Is that correct, Brandon? Hurst started.
Yes.
I think he was on the field, and he was the player involved in Flacco's ACL tear. Believe it or not, I believe so. So it just goes without saying, with Hurst out there, it's not going to get done. We need Stanley back. We need Lewis back quickly. And it's kind of awesome how we need these guys back, and they're rookies, because they're doing a phenomenal job. You don't want to lose like this. I've always said I'd rather got blown out like the Steelers got blown out last week against the Eagles. Because when you take out on the chin, you go, okay, it was a loss. We couldn't do nothing right. But when things like this in a game, and the game plays out, and the final score is there, and then you look back at situations. Well, if we'd have called this play, or if we'd have made this stop, there's always what ifs, and you put it under the microscope. But what sickened me at the end result, and I know, and I'm sorry for being all over the place, but I'm only going off by what I remember from the highlights and picking apart the game, because I didn't get back till late Sunday night. So, and not watching a game put me at a disadvantage in really reviewing this in the correct way. So for all of our listeners out there, I do apologize for I'm trying to really pick this apart and really give this a good detail about what I know. But Brandon, you're going to help me out there because you've seen the game. I'm sure you heard a lot of talk about what was going on, but I want to get to the trenches, because it seemed to me that pass protection was a key, because I heard back foot. I think I heard the term throwing off back foot a lot on social media.
Joe had zero time to do anything.
Oh, great.
So that's the thing I'm going to tell you about this game, is the fact that Ronnie Stanley, a rookie, this would have been his fourth game as a pro, definitely has made an impact on this team already because he was so sorely missed. You've got, you know, you got him and you have Lewis both out, Lewis with concussions, with a concussion. It definitely showed how much of an impact Ronnie Stanley has made because Joe had 2 seconds to make a 3-second play. He had zero time to do anything. There was zero time for the wide receivers and the offense to make anything happen. There's a lot of guys on this offensive line right now that don't deserve to be on the offensive line. And I hate saying stuff like that because I'm not a football player. I'm a fan. But there are guys out there that you know could do a better job than what we see on the offensive line. Joe, a lot of people put Joe at fault for a lot of these for fumbling the ball and this, that, whatever. And yeah, there's blame on Joe. But at the same time, if he has no protection, he's going to scramble. He's not going to be able to make a play happen. The offensive line was abysmal, and it really showed. Veterans Yanda and Zuta, they both are big reasons why there were penalty flags thrown. I mean, this offensive line is undisciplined. They're showing that they don't know what they're doing, and this is what's really going to hold the Ravens back this season. This offensive line is not a good proportion for the Ravens. If the Ravens don't make the playoffs, it'll be because the offensive line isn't doing their job.
Or it's all that's a well said point. And also, it's going to come down to this game, tiebreakers, because this is an AFC loss. This is a loss that ties us in the standings. And if we ended up tied at the end of the year with this team, they're going to get the nod. So, happened with the Chargers a few years ago where they beat us and they got in because they simply beat us at home. We let them. But what sickens me here is I want to know the flow of the game, if you can help me out here, Brandon, because I'm going to read you some stats, man, because even the little reception I got. And I looked at the box score and I said, how are we losing this game? Because we were killing them in the stats. Just listen to this. Total plays, 80 to 54 Ravens. I mean, that's just insane. Total yards, 412 to 61. Again, Ravens. Each team had equal turnovers with one. Ravens for 50% and fourth down. Here's another big stat. Possession, time of possession. 34 minutes, 44 seconds in favor of the Ravens to 25 minutes and 16 for the Raiders. So if you look on the stat sheet, and then you also look on the player stat sheet with Terrence West, 113, a touchdown. They held DeAndre Washington 30 yards rushing. Yeah, Carr had 4 touchdowns, but less than 200 yards passing. So his touchdowns, it sounds like with the turnover, I know the fumble was it on our end? Did it give him a short field? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm trying to remember from the highlights. I watched the highlights, I think, 6 or 7 times just to get some notes here. But just looking at the stat sheet, you would think we demolished this team by 20-something points. Oh, like, okay, if you looked at not even the final score, you're like, dude, the Ravens had 80 plays to the Raiders 54. I'm sure the Ravens had, like, Joe Flacco had 3 touchdowns, and I'm sure West had a touchdown, and we probably held them to 10 points. And you look at a final score, they 20-27, and I literally want to vomit because you're like, what happened out there? But when – just as we're discussing, when Flacco calls off the ball and I saw the highlight, and you give him a short field and they put it on 7, there's points off turnovers. There's a stat it is recorded, but it's unheard of in the game lines because no one really talks about that. It's points off turnovers. And also, in looking at the scope of things, is the play calling I heard was a thing to really hot topic to talk about at the end of the game because what I saw the highlights and it was sickening. When the Ravens are 10 yards away from Justin Tucker range and can't get it done, and everybody was calling for the run because Terrence West was gashing them, why don't you call a run? And do I recall they had a timeout in their pocket, did they not?
Yeah.
Why not run the ball there? Kill your timeout. Let's say you can't get it going with the run. Why not throw the ball then? But then I heard they called 4 straight passing plays, 4 straight completions. Is that correct?
Yeah. Once again, this is showing that Mark Trestman does not work well under pressure, and he doesn't know how to manage the clock correctly.
So two things we should really highlight on this show, Sharice Wright and Mark Trestman need to go and need to go quickly for us to succeed. That's just my personal take on this team right now. 3-1. Luckily, we're sitting in a good spot at 3-1. We could easily be 1-3 talking about this team, but they got away with a couple close wins. But here's the trend. The close wins, we're catching up to them because they can't sustain that. I talked about that a few weeks ago, man. We both discussed that where, you know, Heart Attack Cats, you know, they came down 20. And again, the positive takeaway from this, I saw the resilience. We were down 21-12, fought all the way back, took the lead 27-21. So they basically doubled their deficit, over, and my dad was discussing this too. I want to give him credit for giving me some info on the game, because I asked his take first off. He said the Ravens are notorious for this, and another thing that's a peeve of mine is prevent defense. They get the lead, and then they just go and prevent defense, let them go right down the field in six plays for the final score. That can't happen, man. You got to blitz the guy. You got to get back to what was doing. Don't be playing 20 yards off the – that's just that, – that to me just is absurd.
There's a lot of things that this game kind of showed, and unfortunately one of the things that it really showed was that the coaching staff, I don't know what's going on, but Harbaugh made two kind of boneheaded mistakes in this game. And the first one was that the Ravens were just got a touchdown and everything was all good, and he went for two because he wanted to tie the game. I understand wanting to go for two, but when you don't have an offensive line and you're throwing the ball and you're not giving Joe time, make up that extra point later on down the road. You know, let Justin Tucker get the field goal, get the extra point, and then, all right, you're down by 1 point. Because if you think about it, you know, the tied game, it would have been fine. It would have been a tied game after that play. You wouldn't have had to have rushed to get that, you know, 4th and 10 play done. You could have gotten the extra point. It could have been tied. You could have gone to overtime. That was an option. At the time, though, I understand you went for two. You wanted to get the game over. But
right, and that's another thing I saw, too. It's funny because, see, you can look under the scope, put this game in the matchup, go, okay, 20-27. The Ravens score a 2-point conversion there. The game's in our favor. We win the game. But there, everybody can pick apart the pass play. I don't know what he was looking at, but I know they got their other 2-point conversion on a 2-point against the defense with a Mike Wallace one in the back. I'm not going to talk about the excessive celebration because I think it's warranted. You know, these guys do their jobs. It's hard to score in the NFL as it is, albeit the D-League is making it easier with taking defense away with all their stupid rule changes. So I'm against, you know, the NFL and the No Fun League trying to penalize guys for having fun, because it's not any malicious thing towards anybody. They're not going over there and flipping them the bird. They're not, you know, holding their crotch and doing obscene gestures. They're, you know, waving their arms and dancing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But so I'm not going to harp on that because I'm not. And everybody's like, you condone that, Josh? Of course. You know, again, you know, celebrate. These guys get paid what they do. Celebrate when you do something good. I do it at work all the time, too. I crush it at work. I'm fist pumping and banging on my desk and whatever. I mean, what am I going to get penalized for? So, you should get rewarded for doing well at your job. So, and if you guys want to celebrate, go ahead. But besides the point is, everybody's like, why don't you run the ball there? Well, you can say that, but then you also contradict that statement by saying, okay, well, they passed it on the 2-point conversion the next time and they got it. So, it looked like a bad read because I saw the ball. It was in the middle of the end zone. The receivers, I think, he was trying to throw it to Steve Smith, if my memory serves correct. So, but hindsight's 20-20, it's a loss. But here's the way I look at it, guys. There's a lot of negatives to take away from this, and there's glaring weaknesses. And we need, whether they're injuries, whether they're play calling, whether it's certain situation or player performance, there's a lot of positives. The Ravens are 3-1. We're tied for first place. We have 3 AFC wins, 1 AFC loss. You know, Steelers rebounded well, so they're tied with us. The Bengals rebounded on their Thursday night game. So right now, the AFC North is a 3-horse race with a 1-game advantage, and we're tied because with the Browns being 0-4, they're virtually done. So we have to take care of our business. Coming up, obviously, we have the Redskins at home. We have 3 more weeks before the bye week. As Sugg said in his post game, we're 3-1 at the end of the quarter of the first season. So we go 3-1 and duplicate that 3 more times. The Ravens are 12-4. Another point I want to make here, Brandon, is the Ravens, we're not going to go 16-0 and win the whole thing. Patriots couldn't even accomplish that. Yeah, they won all 16 regular season games, their first 2 playoff games, but couldn't get it done against the Giants in the Super Bowl. There was only one team in the history of this league who did it. It was the 72 Dolphins. So let's tip our hats, commend them on that. But again, it was a shortened season, and I can debate that. That's another story for another bedtime time. But here's the thing I want to talk about, too, is the Ravens are going to have to lose a game. But you don't want to lose it like this when it's nitpicky and you could have. But I think the Ravens can take this as a lesson learned and showing the build on this. And it doesn't define us. We're 3-1 headed against an AFC opponent down south and the Redskins. We'll definitely cover that on the Purple Friday preview. But, given this a very, very close red eye review, we deem everybody healthy because this team can't afford any anybody getting hurt on the line. I mean, you don't want anybody to get hurt, period. Injuries are a possibility and a big reality in the NFL. But on the line, it's going to be a big problem because if we can't protect number five, it's going to be a long, long rest of the year, man. Just the resilience of this team coming down, the way they fought back. I just want to take away from that and build upon that. That, you know, this doesn't define the Ravens. It's one loss. And if Ray Lewis taught us anything in his time with us, in his great career with the team, at the end of the 2014 playoffs, you don't hold your head down, man. You know, you got to make somebody smile out there. And there's life outside of the game. You know, you really can't get frustrated. I mean, yeah, it doesn't ruin, you know, does it make the day sucky? Yeah. You want the Ravens to succeed. We all do. You know, we root hard and there are escape from the world. And, you know, we use that as a crutch and use it as a positive talking note. But yeah, at the end of the day, there's games to be played. But there's also life to live outside of football. And there's a short season and there's years are long and days are long. And the Ravens are going to build upon this, guys. There's no way to pick your head. You know, pick your heads up if they're down. You know, it doesn't define this team. What it will define is where they stand. They stand at 3-1. If they don't fix quickly what we've identified, it could really turn a disastrous season. So 3-1 is a solid start, but let's work on what we need to work on.
Yeah, this team easily could be 4-0 right now.
Could be, yeah.
It could be.
But so could the Patriots, too.
Yeah, and this is not the end of the world. This is not the end of the season. Yes, this game will have impacts overall. But if anything, they're still working out some kinks. Elvis Dumervil, this was his first game back. He admitted, I'm rusty. So if he wasn't at 100%.
How did he look, man? Because I couldn't really find many highlights on him, obviously. I did record a game, but I didn't get a chance to sift through all the recording and film yet, but how did he look specifically? Even though you mentioned, of course, he stated he's rusty, how did he look, though? Did he look as he said?
He looked rusty. Again, like you said, there were no highlights of him. I think he was just kind of getting back into how to play the game. I don't think, like, he didn't hurt the team, but he wasn't really, like a benefit just yet for the team. But this team,
grow stronger.
Yeah, if there's anything that we've learned from this team, I think it's that maybe Harbaugh, Tressman, Dean Pease, the coaching staff, maybe they shouldn't be, like, as short-sighted. Like, getting that two-point conversion, yes, it would have been great at the time, but you got to remember you also have – I think this was, like, towards the end of the game, you still had about 10 minutes or so to be able to get out there and get more points. You know, use your full 60 minutes correctly. Tressman isn't good at that. Harbaugh made some mistakes here. You know, going for not running the ball, throwing the ball when Joe doesn't have any protection, that's probably not the smartest move. And he was throwing it to my buddy Kamar Aiken. And let me just say, Kamar had one of the worst showings he's had in his career. I hate saying that because Kamar is such a good dude and he is a good player, but man, did he not show well this week. He had this dumb penalty when he was on special teams and the Raiders, they called fair catch and then he just pretty much ran into the guy. Put his hands up behind his head like, oops, I didn't mean to, but still, you made contact. Come on. You gotta know where he is. You can't be making some mistakes like that. The fact that he dropped the ball at the end of the game, I think, yeah, it was a rocket from Joe right in his numbers. But at the same time, I think that one of the Raiders players hit Kamar so hard.
He did. I agree with you on that.
To me, that was a defenseless receiver. I think that should have been called, but I don't think he would have been able to hold onto that ball with that guy hitting him that hard. Man, that just looked. I would not be surprised if he isn't practicing because of like some broken ribs or something.
Right. I can agree with you on that. I mean, I think in looking at it, it was triple coverage and what are you doing there, forcing the ball. But I heard, some talking with some, my dad and as well as looking at the film, Steve Smith was opening the flat 1-on-1. So you like your chances 1-on-1, but it could have been design play, but it was do or die time. 4th and 10, you had to look downfield. There's no time for check downs. Another thing I want to talk about, too, is the decision, obviously the big penalty at the end. Or not the end, but trailing, I think the Ravens were 14-12 trailing at that point. Everybody was making a big stink about Harbaugh's decision on this penalty. I want to get your take on it, and then I'll put my spin. What did you think about his decision? Do you agree with it? Would you do it over? He's already said on record, if he could have that one back, he would do it over. But I want to hear your take first before I go.
I think he's wrong. I don't think he should have just accepted it. I
think he should have accepted it because here's the thing. You don't want to give any team another chance. It's the same thing with if this was a Brady or a Manning team. You don't want to give the ball back in their hands for another offensive play. Just let them kick it. I can understand. But then here's the other flip side. In looking at the numbers, okay, and I'm not going to put this in Google and try to figure out. It's 37 point thousandths of a percent, you know, of what he decided, which would have been a better situation. But if you're putting a team at 3rd and 17, the chances of 3rd and 17 being converted for a first down are pretty much on the low end. I would definitely could really assess that and back that up. It's not like it would have been a 4th and 3 or a 3rd and 3 or whatever. It would have been 4th and 6 if he had accepted it. Or actually, I think he actually accepted it, but if he declined it, it would have been nullified. They stopped him. 4th down, they kicked the field goal. You're giving up 3 points. But I think there is – he wanted to give faith in his defense to stop him. Maybe they try to throw a pass and complete or check it down. You know, maybe they get all the way back. Okay, then it's okay. But here's hindsight 2020, and he said this on record, and I'll say it time and time again. He would have been praised for the decision if he did what he did. He accepted the penalty, put him back 15 yards, 3rd and 17, replay 3rd down. And let's say, okay, they miss it incomplete, or whether they kick a field goal, miss it, whether they kick the field goal and we block it for a 3rd week in a row, you don't know what happens. Then he looks like a hero call. Oh, that was a great decision. Accept the penalty, move him back, great. But because it didn't work, he's crucified for it. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. That's how this game is, man. It's same thing with the 2-point conversion. We converted there, it looks great. Why are you going for 2? Because we didn't get it, and everybody's going to pick it apart. Can't please everybody, and I think Harbaugh knows that. This coaching staff knows that. We, as we do our podcast, we know that. We can't please everybody with our opinions and our take on things. But what I call it is black and white. I think he should have declined it because you don't want to give them another team. So hindsight, I agree with our decision and agreement together, Brandon, that he should have just reversed it. But I see his point of pushing them back 17 yards because it's difficult to get a 17-yard first down with one play. But the fact that remains is our defense didn't get it done, and it was embarrassing because they converted it, and then they converted it into a touchdown. So not only converted the first down, but they got a touchdown, and it ended up being a deciding game or factor in the game. So looking at that, it's an iffy call. But, I mean, the great coach up north, Bill Belichick, back in the AFC title game, he did a 4th down play, and he threw it in a flak to Kevin Falk, and he didn't get it. And he took his flak for it. Other coaching, the coaches have that. Even the best coach in the league is Bill Belichick. And yeah, why are you talking about Belichick? Belichick's one of the greatest of all time. Whether you hate the Patriots or not, you have to respect it. He's from this area. He came from Cleveland coaching ranks. He's got history with this football team. He played a part in drafting Ray Lewis, believe it or not, when the team came here in 96. And for all those who don't know, go research it. It's true. We actually had Bill Belichick for Ray Lewis's pick. So if you just think about the ripple effects that go on. But again, you know, don't, and for all those who are trying to sell their tickets and being off unfair weathered or fair weather, I should say, and you know, all this team and this coach, I'm tired of this and ticky tacky calling. We don't want you, man. We want faithful in Ravens Nation. And I just want to say that, you know, for all those who went out there, I'm very excited that it sounded like it was loud. It was awesome, the environment to be in. But I really can't wait to get after it again, and we're going to show them that we're going to learn from this, man. I think this team will.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Is like, yes, this is just one loss. They're not going to have a perfect season. I don't think they're in trouble. But as you can see, the Ravens are willing to do anything. We saw that the fact that they benched Justin Forsett. They want to win. They showed that full on, that they are ready to make changes. We saw the same thing in the Super Bowl year when Cam Cameron was let go, even though the Ravens
had benched Forsett. So, as we discussed, no one knew that, you know. And I even joked about that, and I agree with you. They fired Cam Cameron in the middle of the season and made Jim Caldwell coordinator, and we won the title. And you're right. This team isn't afraid to make that change.
No.
Yeah, so, I think it's coming, don't you?
Yeah, it's definitely a sign of this team wanting to win, doing what they have to win. This isn't over. Season's not over. It's one loss, so no need to freak out, but we know what the problems are on this team. We know who is a VIP on this team, who's got to be on the field. And Kamar Aiken just saying, you know, what he did on this game. He tweeted afterwards, I've got to be better. My team needs it. I need it. So he knows he didn't have a great game. I think, you know, he's been a little – he was the guy. Towards the end of last year, he was the guy because everyone else was hurt. And then this year starts, and now he's been bumped down to 4 or 5 in the wide receiver category, and he gets a shot. And I think, you know, he probably got a little overzealous to show off that he can do it. So I think, you know, this isn't his one-and-done shot. I think he's going to still be around for a little bit. But other rookies, other people, you know, I'd rather have Ronnie Stanley out there than a lot of the guys they have for left tackle as backup. So we'll see what happens down the road. This game, it's a loss, but hopefully the Ravens can learn from this. If they make the same mistakes next week, that's when I'm going to be ticked off.
And that's right. I mean, you don't want to duplicate that. You know, of course, in covering what we did, you know, to keep in mind and there's notes and see what happens on the game plan. And it's all about execution. I mean, you want them to fix what's going on, but at the end of the day, it is a team-based game plan. So, but at the end of the day, they got to get done what they got to get done and can't be playing around. But on a later note, you know, it's definitely a great assessment on things to come. I mean, it's a disappointing loss, but in virtual reality, this team wasn't going to go undefeated, so let's just take losses where we can at a minimum, learn from it, and let's go back to winning ways. I mean, you know, starting the season 3-1, I had them at 2-2 on my ticker. As I was discussing with some friends this weekend, I had them winning the first two games and losing the next two games, so and then winning the next one to put them at a disadvantage there given what they have now. So this team's surprising me. You know, I had them losing the Jacksonville and Oakland because I just thought that those two offenses, we couldn't hold them down. And, you know, it is what it is. Let's just take it, run with it. And 3-1 is 3-1. We discussed last show. Bill Barcells, you are, Rager says you are. We're 3-1 tied for first. I'm not disappointed in that because we could be 0-4 and Browns would be in the basement. We could be 1-3 like the Colts are and like some other teams and saying, what just happened? What just happened? We have the pieces. Where are we going? And we were 0-3 last year and look, it's a mirror reversal of what – I wouldn't say mirror reversal. It's contradictory, but it's a reversal 100% totally, man. What happened last year? Dude, we were 0-3 and had to get our first win in week 4 against the Steelers on Thursday Night Football in ugly fashion like we always do. Now we were 3-0, total difference, and then we got our first loss in week 1. And I'll take that. It's October. It was October 2nd, fourth game of the year, second month in the football. Yeah, 3 months of football left, and they just got their first loss in October 2nd. I'll take that because some teams are already got – no wins, and there's some teams that have 3 losses out there, and they're already in October, and there's a lot of them. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, 2-3 lost teams, and some and a couple of teams are 0-4, if I'm not mistaken. I know Browns are. So just take it as it is. We have 1 loss in the NFL. I'll take that all day long after 4 games, man. And this team, just resilience, and I'm proud of our boys. And one to note, definitely, before things get away, before we wrap up here, did I not see an Ice Cube sighting at M&T? Was he there?
He was there, yeah.
That's awesome, man. I wonder if anybody got an autograph or pick. That's awesome.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, because he was making fun about how his son's a Ravens fan, but he showed up, and that's pretty stinking awesome to know that a high-profile guy like Ice Cube, and we all know who he is, and he's out there sporting and a celebrity. I think that's one of the very few times I've actually seen a high-profile celebrity come out to a regular season game like that at 1 o'clock. It wasn't a primetime game. It wasn't a Monday night game. It wasn't an away game, obviously. So the fact that he came here to support his Raiders, that's awesome. So I don't know if he had business here, he just made the flight, but dude, you got to commend it, man. That's awesome showing. And you know how we do when we do our road trips. It's just awesome to see that he did that for support of his team. I commend him on that.
Yeah, I think this was, I don't think he has business or anything in town. I think he's a Raiders fan. Of course, we all know that his son's a Ravens fan, and I think it just kind of made perfect sense for him and his kid to come and support each of their teams. But you're talking about like high profile celebrities. I don't know if you remember this from a couple years ago. I think it was a regular season game, but we had Mr. George Clooney at Ravens Stadium with his then girlfriend Stacey Keibler at one of the suites. I mean, you can't get a higher profile than George Clooney.
Right. No, you can't. I mean, George Clooney is George Clooney. But for the record, I don't think he's a Ravens fan. He just did it for support because I knew Stacy is. So she's from the area and former Ravens cheerleader. So I think it's that by association support kind of deal. Hey, we're not knocking it, man. You know, we appreciate Mr. Clooney's enthusiasm for doing so. But we all know Ice Cube and his fame to Raider Nation, and it's really great to see it. I mean, it was a hard fought game. Either way, I wish I was there. And had people text me, I can't believe you're there. The environment's insane. I mean, they said the place popped off when Steve Smith went gaunt yard, and then when we took the lead 27-21, they said the place was like at playoff atmosphere. And I can't wait, man. I mean, covering the Purple Friday preview coming up here later this week. You know, we have the interstate rivalry because they're not a division rival or anything. But the Redskins come to town, so of course that's going to be fun. And we probably would see a lot of Redskins fans at the game. Hope not. But it's just great to see, man. And I know you've mentioned that we have some great news for our call. First road trip coming up, man. Me and you are going to be trekking to the Jets game.
That's right. You and I, we are going on a bus trip up to see the Ravens take on the Jets. Should be a lot of fun. It's the week right before the bye week. Going up there with a bunch of Ravens fans. That should be a...
I can't wait, man.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm so excited. I can't wait. It's been a long time since I've seen the Ravens on the road. And hopefully the Jets are nice fans.
It's going to be double dipping for me, man. Especially, it's going to be crazy because you would think, it's funny, two road games, but I'll be in the same stadium, but two different teams, but two different trips. It's going to be great. I got my itinerary for the Giants game. Obviously, those don't know. I will be at the next three games, obviously. Brandon will be there for one of them. I can't wait. Ravens road trip, the call edition. We're going to be doing a lot of fun things, man, in the coming weeks. We'll be doing a lot of Facebook Lives, obviously getting some fan interviews, tailgates. But I also wanted to end the show on a great note here. For all those who didn't see my Facebook and wondered, where the heck was I on Sunday? Why wasn't I present? And I'm one of the biggest well-known fans out there, if not, you know, in the area, and everybody knows me and what I love to do. And it was just a sucky situation for me not to be tailgating. Everybody was like, where are you at tailgating? But I had a great situation with a great friend of mine. I want to say thank you so much for him allowing me to do so. But I got to enjoy the NASCAR race at Dover, Delaware on pit road. I had an all-access pass back in the garage area. Got to meet some of the drivers. Dude, you can't – I'm telling you what, the experience that I had, dude, it was the exact equivalent of being down in the Ravens locker room pregame, watching them get dressed, hearing the pregame speech, being out in the field during warm-ups, being on the sideline during the game, and then getting to go into the post-game locker room speech and seeing them all get, you know, their talk and all that. And that's the equivalent of what I got to experience for a NASCAR race. Dude, I almost need a whole separate show just to talk about my experiences, but to wrap that up for you, man, incredible. I if anybody ever has a chance to do something like that, I would. I mean, if anybody's ever seen a NASCAR race on TV, ever been to one live, to be on that side of the situation, I should say, in the whole sport, and to see these guys do their jobs. I mean, I was behind pretty much, this is my Sunday. During Sunday, during the Ravens game, as I was trying to check the scores, I was basically behind Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt's pit box, and I got a selfie if nobody's seen on there. I took a selfie and Dale Earnhardt Jr. standing up on the pit box. So I was down there live, you know, tires and rubber and while these guys were doing their jobs in the pit, walking down pit road live while the race was going on, dude, I can't express enough how crazy and awesome that experience was.
Well, that's really great. I mean, it's one thing to miss a game, but it's another thing if you're going to do something as once in a lifetime as that. No fans or anybody's mad at you for missing it. I was trying to get under your skin a little bit when I tweeted you after the game. I just wrote hashtag your fault or whatever.
Well, it was my fault because I did some rearranging, and I might take a picture and show you, dude. But I'm going to explain this. I'm actually looking at it right now because it's where my podcast and Ravens desk is set up. I have a TV and a stand, and I have like a raven, like an actual raven bird decoration. Okay, it's a pretty awesome decoration. The other day, because I took my DVD player and I took it over to somebody's house because I have a Blu-ray player. Okay, well, the raven was sitting on the shelf where the DVD player was. So, and the DVD player was sitting on the ground. So, doing some, you know, cleaning and straightening up, I hooked it back up, put the cable, the HDMI cable back in the TV, plugged it in. So I moved the Raven from its spot where it's been since game one, and I put it on top of the entertainment stand to the left of the TV, or my left of TV's right, and of course we lose the game. So when you say it was my fault, I'm very superstitious if no one knows about that. So I might move him back there this week.
And you better.
Actually, after the show, I might, because he's still there, I might move him back now so I can get him back in his right spot, and hopefully we can go back to winning ways. I mean, obviously, if anybody doesn't believe the Hocus Pocus, yeah, moving the Raven didn't play into losing the game, but I believe that because it all started a few years back where I had a Ravens bracelet break and we ended up getting killed that game, and everybody blamed it on my bracelet breaking during the game. So it's just, I'm always weird in those kind of hokey things, and they do work because I moved them and we lost, so apparently something was at stake.
Oh, man. Well,
it was my fault.
You know,
everybody's my fault. Tweet me, blame me. It's all my fault. I'm sorry, guys. We'll do better next week. I promise.
All right. Good. All right, Josh. So for this Red Eye review, did we cover everything?
Dude, in honor of a great showing, we covered this one to the north, south, east, and a great game for Terrence West.
That's right. So if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Be like our buddy over in London, Richard Good. He went
in
to the
London.
In London.
Oh, he was. I always got to do it. Always got to do it. It's my friend's reference. But dude, he tweeted me. Awesome. Awesome experience to get to talk to him about his Wembley Stadium experience. I know the Colts and Jags were out there on Sunday morning. Here. It was great. You know, I got to watch some of the game before I went to the track. It was very good to tweet him and get to talk about the experience. He said fans come from all over, wear all kinds of different teams, and I almost want to do that as like a bucket list thing. Really, just to see how many different fans show up, and it's really good for him to represent Ravens Nation, man. It's just awesome. Yeah, hopefully, we get to play out there one day. It would be great.
Yeah, he sent us a picture from that Wembley game, and he was repping with some Ravens gear. So it's good to see that. It's good to see Ravens Nation all over the place. Like we say, Ravens Nation worldwide. But one day maybe the Ravens will be able to go to London. But
they won't take away a home game. Yeah, I know that
they're not going to take away a home game. They'll have to be the away team. Do that. Do you think, you know, this going a little off topic, do you ever think there's going to be an unofficial NFL team in London? Because it seems as if they keep trying to make that happen. Do you think there's actually going to be one there all the time? Ever?
If my honest opinion, no, I would say no. But not to really get it down into it and create that, but there's a lot of logistics that would have to happen because of travel, scheduling. And then if you add an expansion team like that, they would create an odd amount of teams. You would have to almost create two more teams in its essence to accommodate that. But then with every division having four, the way the format is, they would really have to look at formatting. I mean, maybe in years to come, that would be an awesome thing to happen. I mean, the NFL would be great, you know, to get that exposure, to get that. But to hear from the players that travel over there, the game being at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time and it's awesome that the league covers that. I mean, the game was live here, I think, on NFL Network, if I'm not mistaken. I know I followed it on the NFL app. But that would be awesome. But my answer would be no, I don't see that happening in the foreseeable future because there's a lot of things that has to happen to make that happen, per se.
Right. All right, so you know where to tweet me, at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always find me and always blame me for anything that happens. Italian GQ52.
All right, guys, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about the Call Podcast. Go over to Facebook.com. Like us over there. Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Make sure you like us. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we do our game day previews on game day from our Facebook page. So we do them live. You guys can talk to us. You can send us questions while we do that. I did it outside my house, and I had some neighbors screaming at me, "Go Broncos!" because he's a big Broncos fan. So you guys can see if you can hear that in the background. But guys, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Like us on iTunes. Write us an iTunes review. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you're social, on the web with your phone. Say, "I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too." So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, man. It you know, definitely was a solid one. But I will say this in signing out, this is my last show in my 20s, guys. My last one.
That's so right.
By 20s, I'll be 30 in passing this week for the Purple Friday preview. So the Purple Friday preview will be a chance to showcase my my podcasting skills in my 30s. Hopefully, I don't lose much.
You might get you might have some dementia there in your old age.
Hey man, well I'm going to have dementia because I'm going to forget this loss. How's that sound?
Oh, I like that. I like that. Everybody, yes, go wish Josh a very happy birthday, early birthday. If you're listening to this on Monday night or Tuesday, make sure you go over Facebook, Twitter, whatever. Say happy birthday, Josh. Hope you enjoy yourself, man. This is. I wish they got you a win for your birthday, but hopefully they'll give you a belated birthday gift on Sunday.
Oh, they will. And even that, I mean, it's been a birthday week for me. I've been off. But I get to go to game on Sunday. Obviously, I'll be back in my element, my form, back in my seat where I belong, and hopefully we can send us out with because the Ravens won't be back to M&T until November 6th against the Steelers because we go there on the road from two. Then we have a bye Halloween weekend, so I like to send us out from the bank with a 4-1 record going on a road trip and until the bye week. So it's definitely going to be a good one. We're going to enjoy it, all that come out. It's going to be great. We're going to have some fun. Can't wait to see you later this week for some birthday festivities. It's going to be a fun week. Again, guys, like I said before, have that dementia. Forget this loss. Put it behind us. Sweep it under the rug. Yeah, it's disappointing, but you're going to hear me say it a lot this week. We are not going to go 16-0. Say it with me. We're not going to go 16-0. As much as that would have been awesome, it's not going to happen. It's hard to do in the NFL. Even since the Dolphins and only the Patriots didn't even complete the season, we know that. So it's very hard to do, very hard to win in the NFL, very low score sometimes in the NFL. So really appreciate what this team does on a week in, a week out. Our boys fought hard. They fought all the way back. Yeah, they didn't get it done. Losing end of the effort. But the effort was there. Our boys are resilient. We're going to regroup and take on the Skins coming weekend. Enjoy the week, guys. Lick your wounds. It's going to be okay. 3-1. We're going to march on. Baltimore Ravens, fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.